Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Amen. Come on, why don't we lift our hands in the presence of God? You know, I love that Psalm says, Psalm 121, verse 1, it says, I lifted up my eyes to the mountains, to the Lord. This is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. If you need a miracle, lift your hands to God today. Let's lift our hands, believing that something is about to shift for us. And I love the psalmist because he said, I'm lifting my eyes upwards. And God, I thank you for those people here today. And perhaps they do need a miracle to do with their finances, to sell land or buy property, pay increase. God, that you would make a way for us, that your hand is not too short to do the thing that is required in our life. Or maybe there's anxiety, fear, depression, torment in your mind. You know, the Bible says who the Son sets free is free indeed. We believe that. Or maybe there's been a bad report by a doctor. Maybe there's cancer or arthritis in your life. The doctors have said this is your forever. It's simply not true. Not that the doctors are bad, but there's another report that says, by his stripes we are healed. And so what do? We lift. Come on. We lift. Not waiting for the end of the service for the miracle to happen. But I said to Az, I said, the Holy Spirit's here. Something is turning. Something is shifting for us. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would move powerfully this morning, throughout today. Lord, we honor you and we give you all the praise. Come on, if you believe that, give him a great clap of celebration. Isn't he good? Oh, come on, Beacon Church, you can do better than that. I believe it. Isn't he good? He's kind. The kindness of God. Amen. Amen. Good job, worship team. Have a seat. Turn to somebody and say, I like that guy. He's a good guy. He's a Kiwi. Amen. I like the Kiwis. Any Kiwis here? All right. Well, everybody, all the Kiwis, you're straight up. Straight up. Straight up. You're going to heaven regardless of whatever you do. God's country, Aotearoa. God defend New Zealand. And anyway, we're blessed to be blessed. And I love your pastors. I'm family, officially family. I made it. I was hoping to get in. And that's very kind of you. And this is the house of miracles. I'm telling you right now, this is the house of miracles. This is what God is doing in your church. And it's going to continue to do so because God is looking for churches that will carry his presence and carry his power. And there are many churches in the world that would not take a moment to have a healing evangelist come through. They would like to have a comedian come through or something like that. But this is not the church. We believe in the power of God. Yes. And I'm very honored to be the senior pastor of Believe Church in Wollongong, and we're just moving premises where we need a bigger space, as do you. Yeah. And so we're excited about that to move to Shell Cove now, closer to the beach. Amen. And I knew it was the Lord when he said that. But we believe in God, and what I mean by that is we believe in the Bible cover to cover. And we refuse to bow to wokeness. We refuse to bow to other things that the world is trying to throw at us. We believe in his power. And this is a foundation of our church, that we believe that the power of God is to transform a life, to heal a life, to save a life, to bring out the calling of God in people's worlds. We believe in people. People are very important in our church. And in our church, We believe that we exist not for ourselves, but we exist for the people who are yet to find Christ. And so we come here and celebrate and believe God for miracles. And we do that in our church every Sunday. Most Sundays, we have people flying in from different places in Australia to receive their healing. Somebody's driving 12 hours to receive their healing today from Melbourne. They're driving all the way to our church. And I think about that, and I think, how many churches do you pass to receive a healing? You know, they have to pass all these other churches because they don't know that God heals in other churches. Beacon Church needs to have God heals in our church. I think if I was to have a prophetic statement, I feel like I saw on your world, on your wall, and I'm not saying this, but like miracle after miracle on your wall, miracle after miracle. Come on, somebody. Yeah, miracle after miracle. Because it needs to happen. And so for me, I'm married to Janine, which I like. Yeah. I like her. She's I said to her the other day, we've been in Cambodia for 3 weeks. We help young girls get out of human trafficking. We've been doing that we're celebrating 20 years now of doing that. So, and I texted her and I said, I'm in love with you. She goes, really? And I said, yeah. I still like you. So that will disappoint a few people, I'm sure, but that's why. When I hold the microphone, I so you can see the wedding ring. And I look in the mirror. I know what you got to deal with. So you know, it's just that you got to calm yourself down. I'm married. I'm taken. Yeah, so I'm going to stop. Okay. But I am actually, even though I'm a healing evangelist, I'm quite funny. Yeah. So you. Part of my story is when I was 13 years old. I'm the youngest of eight in my family. Had a great childhood. At 13 years old, I was diagnosed with leukemia, which was a bad moment. Who's had a bad moment? You walk into the doctor's happy and then you're sad afterwards. That was a bad moment. For 5 years, I fought for my life. With leukemia, I was in and out of remission. At the age of 15 years old, a pretty girl asked me to go to a youth Presbyterian youth group, and I said yes because I thought she was nice. And if Janine's listening, she wasn't as pretty as you, because she does listen to these messages. But anyways, I went and I became a Christian. I say that like that, but I want you to know that prayer is powerful. I need to underscore that because your pastors got up here and said, hey, listen, we're going to have a prayer meeting. And there's many of you, it's like, yeah, that's good for somebody else. But one prayer can change your whole life. Your eternity changes when you become a Christian. And it blows me away how we don't emphasize prayer enough in our church. I didn't know that there's a prayer movement like this as... But in my church, all of September, we're praying and fasting. And all of October, we're praying and fasting because I feel like something fresh, something important, and I've called it devoted for September. We're going to devote ourselves to prayer, devote ourselves in the presence of God. 1 minute, you're not walking. You're 1 minute, you're not going to heaven. And then a prayer later, your eternity, shut the gate. Like that's pretty awesome. One minute you're in a wheelchair and now you're out of a wheelchair because of a prayer. And you are debating whether you'll go or not. If you knew how powerful prayer was, there would be a line. You don't believe it yet. If you knew how powerful prayer was, if you wanted your city really to be one, there would be a line. A line. A line. But instead we're like, oh, my preference is sleep. Wow, eternity's just around the corner. And your prayer could alter something. A whole month. Oh, I digress. I've got to pull myself back. A whole month we talked about fighting powers and principalities, not people. Why is this church not 10,000? Maybe because somebody hasn't prayed. Maybe if the whole church turned up to the prayer meeting, something could shift over your atmosphere. You've got a new building. How's it going to be filled? By prayer. Prayer. God moving things. Come on, somebody. When I was 17 years old, I was diagnosed to be terminal with cancer. And my youth pastors, my Presbyterian youth pastors, came in with a big Bible. After my Catholic priest had given me my last rites. Who knows, that's a bad day. And they said, Andrew, we believe in a different report. We believe that God can heal you. And when they put their hand on my chest and they began to pray for me, something shifted in my life. My very next blood test, they said everything has turned, things are turning, and God healed me on that day. And so let's give God a big clap for that. Many good things are happening, but I need to go because I've got too many good things to say. Matthew 8, verse 5. One of my favorite verses. This is when the centurion had entered Capernaum. The centurion came to him asking him for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion said, Lord, he's a good guy. Lord, I do not deserve that you would come under my roof. And you know what? None of us deserve. But the goodness of God is available for all of us. Yeah. But just speak a word. Everybody say, speak a word. Just speak a word. Say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself, a man under authority, with the soldiers under me, I tell this one to go and he goes, and this one come and he comes, and he said to my servant, do this, and he does it. How amazing is that? When Jesus heard it, he was amazed. And he said to those following him, truly I have not found so much faith in all of Israel. And I say to you, many will come from the east to the west and take their places in the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then he said to the centurion, go and let it be done as you believed. Everybody say, you believed.
You
believed. Say it again, you believed.
You believed.
As you believed. And he said to the servant, and he said, your servant has been healed at that very moment. I want to tell you something that is going to rock you. And one of the things that I need to address is not only that prayer is powerful, but that God is for you. Actually, God wants you to win. He has gone to great lengths for your healing and for your salvation. How do I know this? It's because in Isaiah 53 verse 5, it says, by his stripes we are healed. What do you mean by that? What I mean is that we as a church understand that salvation happened at the cross. That Jesus took the penalty of sin upon him as a man without sin. The sin of the world came upon him. The perfect sacrifice, the atonement for your sin. So when we go to heaven with our imperfectness, and we get there, and we're a little bit shy because there'll be streets of gold and angels, and we present ourselves before God, he will say sinless, because Jesus took our sin. So we walk in with white robes. We go, hey, well, good move. I'm in. And anyway, I'm thinking of as I don't know, I feel like jokes are coming. I don't know what. I've got things in my head that should not be in my head. There's too many funny stories that are trying to come out or rebuking them. But anyway, I've got to get back. Where am I? Sin. So a lot of us have prayed that prayer, asking Christ to come into our life. But on the same day, every whipping, every beating, they said on the cross, and we see the picture of the cross, but he was unrecognizable as. Like his flesh was completely torn. Why? It says by his stripes we're healed. He paid the price for our salvation and for our healing. So I know, people say to me, Andrew, does God want to heal? Yeah, he does. He is for us. And so that's the foundation of the gospel, that he heals and he saves. And Jesus showed that many, many times throughout the scriptures. He's for us. And Jesus says, I will come and heal him. So he is front-footed. You know, there's a fight going on for our salvation, for our healing. We know this in John 10:10. It says the thief comes only to steal, to kill, destroy. But then it says, but Jesus, I have come that you'd have life and life in all of its abundance. Let me tell you this right from the get-go. The devil doesn't want you to win. He is trying to steal, rob, destroy. What? Well, number one, your salvation. He does not want you to become a Christian today. He doesn't want you to have faith. He doesn't want you to believe. He doesn't want you to pray. Come on, somebody. Underscoring again. He doesn't want you to do, he wants you to remain the same, beaten up, broken, depressed. But Jesus says, I've come that you'd have life. And life in abundance. So he's saying, hey, listen, this I am for you. And this is important. Then he says, the centurion has a revelation. The centurion replied, I do not deserve that you'd come under my roof, but speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority. And this is an amazing thought. Because when Jesus heard it, he was amazed. Like it's great when Jesus doesn't even know what's going on. And he's God. He's like, I don't even know. What are you saying? What are you saying? He had never heard that before. Why? Because before this moment, Jesus had to be in the room for a healing to take place. He had to put his hand on somebody. But now this guy is saying, speak a word. Speak a word. Like over there, and my servant will be healed. He had the revelation in Genesis 1:1-3, it says, and God said, let there be light, and there was. Back in the day, in Genesis, when God said, it's Jesus talking, let there be light. Jesus said, let there be light. I don't know if you knew that. It's like, what? You need to go to Bible college, church. He is the word. Let there be light. And so come with me for a little minute. Somehow, the centurion knew that back then, when Jesus spoke a word and the universe was formed, that now the same Jesus is standing before him and he's saying, if it worked back then, if it worked back then and you created the universe, lift up my eyes. This is where my help comes from. It comes from the maker of heaven and earth. How big is our God? How big is your God? He said, if you just speak a word, my servant will be healed. And Jesus was like, whoa. He's like, whoa, what are you saying? He knew. He knew what? He knew that he was God. Gabriel, come here. Yes, Lord. What's the centurion saying? Well, he knows, Lord. He knows what? You're a God. And another translation says he marveled, pondered, thought about it, thinking, man, this guy's good. He's tapping into something. Before this, I'd have been in the room. But now, something's been unlocked. Something's been unlocked. It's limitless now. A word. You know, in our church, every 6 weeks, we do a healing service online for around the world. People come and write their testimonies. They watch online. We have 100 people who are dying in Africa, in Asia, and they watch our channel on YouTube, Facebook, and I see all their prayer requests coming in live, and I pray for them by name. Hundreds of people have written into us saying we've been healed. Amazing. Hundreds. Maybe we try to go through it. I said to my team, just tell me who for our Christmas celebration. Just tell me all the testimonies. I had to stop because it was just endless. I said, well, it's too many. You should have counted them more. What are you doing? Too many. I feel like I'm crazy because what I'm doing is I'm speaking to a camera, to a person in Africa, and saying, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Yeah. Believing that. The same God who was in Genesis is now the same God in 2025. And through a TV program, through a camera, and they're watching on their iPhone, and I'm believing that the Holy Ghost come out. They may be on the beach. They may be on the... But believing that something could turn because of a word. Come on, church. How big is our God? It's limitless. It's limitless now. Matthew 8, verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those, surely I say to those, I've not found so much grace, so much faith, not even in Israel. The ceiling's off. And then he says this. He says, and as you believed. Wow. What do you believe today, church? How does God have to do it for you? We all walk in and we've got thoughts and feelings on if Pastor Andrew pulled me out and prophesied, that could be it. Or if Andrew spent half an hour praying for me, that would do it. What does God need to do for you to believe that God can heal you? And is it a touch? Or could God actually come and just touch you sovereignly in your seat? Yes. Because you just said, in the name of Jesus, I just believe that you can, a word of healing could come into my life. A word. And today I am going to pray for people because time allows it and I like to do it. And God says, lay hands on sick people. But God can do it all sorts of different ways. What do you believe in your spirit? One more. Okay. All right, I'm just thinking. Luke 8, verse 40. I like this as well. Jesus raises a girl from the dead. Raises a girl and then heals a sick woman. He just raised a girl from the dead. Now he's going to heal a sick woman. Luke 8, verse 44. She came up behind him. Maybe the keys could come and help me just for a minute. She came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. Immediately, her bleeding stopped. "Who touched me?" Jesus asked. And when they all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowd is pressing against you." But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me. I know it because power has gone out from me." And the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling, fell at his feet in the presence of all the people, and told them why she had touched him and how she had been instantly healed. Then he said, "Daughter, your faith," everybody say, "your faith," or "as you believed, you have been healed. Go in peace." So now we've got this thing. A woman, 12 years of bleeding. Back in a day, not what Jesus was teaching, but what she believed is that Jesus would not speak to her because it would be not kosher for him to talk to a woman who was unclean. Not what Jesus was teaching, but she believed that Jesus would not touch her. So I don't know how it was, but maybe the beggar's tents, when they're warming their hands at late at night, the rumors, the stories of the miraculous were coming around. Now, for the first time in their generations, they're hearing that lepers could be healed. Impossible. And this woman in the beggar's tents heard about the miraculous. So she comes. But she thinks to herself, "He won't talk to me. He won't put his hand on me. But maybe if I can come up behind him." And sometimes it doesn't matter how you come to Jesus, just come to Jesus. It doesn't matter how you come, just get in the room. So she thinks to herself, "He's coming, so I am just going to see if I can just touch the hem of the garment." So she's sneaky. She's moving around, dodging the disciples, past Matthew, past Luke. They do boom, boom, boom. Timothy, past him. And now getting closer, 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 closer. And whoop. I felt something. Jesus. He stops the whole room. He says, "Who touched me?" The disciples go, "Cuckoo." Thousands. People were in the room, but some people didn't touch him. You come to church and don't touch him. You come to church and you don't touch him. It's a decision. And she came up behind and touched him. And he said, "Who touched?" She came trembling. Why was she trembling? Because she thought she was going to get told off. She thought she was not in the right room. She thought she was going to get stoned. And what does Jesus do? How kind is he? He says, "Daughter, she's in the family. Daughter," what does he say? "Your faith." What you believed, what you believed has made you well. All right, well, you didn't get it now. I'll do one more now. I thought that was it, but not it. Well, how about this one then? Acts 5. As a result, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on their beds and mats so that at least Peter's shadow, everybody say shadow, might fall on some of them as they were passing by. Crowds gathered from around the towns, from Jerusalem, bringing their sick and those who were tormented by impure spirits, and all of them were healed. Everybody say all. All right. Well, as I said, I'm not too sure how we're going to do it, but let's just try it this way. We're going to... I like to think about... We don't realize that these stories are real. Like, this is happening. So the people are hearing that lepers are healed. The people are hearing about the woman who was touched. They heard about, they saw the crowd, a large crowd, heard and saw it. A dead person, woman, was just raised. And now, Jesus is gone. He's died. He's gone to heaven, right? So there's no more Jesus. He can't put his hand on you. He can't speak a word over you. He's not going to be in the room. But there's faith in Beacon Church. Beacon Church believed if they can get the person in the meeting, if the person can come, maybe God could do something for them. They're here. They bring the crippled person on the side of the road. They're all lined up. There's no Jesus is not here anymore. But maybe a disciple. Maybe somebody who's been under a shadow of Jesus for 3 years, carrying an anointing. Maybe his shadow could touch me. A disciple under the shadow of Jesus. Maybe his shadow. 3 in the afternoon, the sun is at the highest. Could you imagine the crowds? All hearing that something is about to happen. The sick people are lined up all along the streets. Peter, over here. Don't pass me by, Peter. He's heard the stories. He can't move. He reaches out. He reaches out, church, and touches a shadow. My legs! I can feel my legs! Something's happening to me. Friends, touch the shadow. Touch the shadows. The shadow, there's healing in the shadows. And it says that all were healed as they believed. It's now limitless. Garments, handkerchiefs, prayed over, carrying the anointing. People were healed. It's limitless. A word, a touch, a shadow. Don't tell me he doesn't want it. Don't tell me he doesn't want to heal. He is saying any way that you believe, he can do it. If you believe in Jesus Christ, something can shift for you. Come on, give the Lord a clap. As you believe, 35 years ago, my youth pastor walked into my room and I was dying and I had no faith. Where was the miracle for me? That even in my unbelief, I allowed them to pray for me. It was enough faith for God to do what he needed to do. So I'll take that little seed, a whiff of faith, I'll take it. And he did something amazing in my life. As an amazing story happened. Just a few months ago, I was traveling to New Zealand to see my mum and dad. And I still keep in contact with that beautiful woman who prayed for me. I had coffee with her and my son. And as we're talking, my friend begins to weep. I said, "What's wrong?" She says, "Andrew, I've got some bad news. I want you to tell you that I have got leukemia and I've been told I'm terminal." I said, "I had leukemia and you prayed for me." I said, "Well, praise God that I'm here. And I'm going to believe God for a miracle." And you know what she said to me? She said, "No, Andrew, I'm happy just to share in God's sufferings." And I said, "That's bad theology." I said, "I don't believe that at all. I said, I believe that God wants to heal you." And she said, "Well, I'm not so sure." And I said, "Well, listen, I believe it's a divine appointment that I'm here. And I believe there's a divine appointment that I'm here today." And I said to my friend, I said, "Would you come to church and hear me? And afterwards, I'm going to pray, and I believe that God's going to heal you." She said, "Well, I might not." I said, "Well, you got to come. It's 2 hours away." So she drives. For the first half an hour, she doesn't even get out of the car. So she comes in. I'm preaching, of course. I just say to her, "Hey, listen, oh, my friend, come, I'll save seats for you." So she's really annoyed at me. And I get save seats there. I preached the message. And then afterwards, me and my son prayed for her. I said to her, "In the name of Jesus, I believe the doctors are going to say we've misdiagnosed. There's no more cancer in your life. There's a blood transfusion happening. Your bone marrow is changing. Everything's shifting." I could feel the power of God falling upon her. 2 days later, she rings me back. She said, "I've had all the scans, everything." She said, "The doctors have said they've misdiagnosed. We don't know what's happened." The same lady who prayed for me, who had faith 35 years ago, now didn't have faith. What changed? I can tell you what changed. She surrounded herself in the wrong environment. Thank God for Beacon Church that has the right environment. If you're dying, you want to come to Beacon Church because they're going to believe for a miracle for you. If you go to that other church down the road and they don't believe, well, they'll send you flowers and give you chocolates, but you will die. I'm telling you the truth. As you believed, what did my friend believe? My friend said, "I'm just going to share in God's sufferings." Because that's what that church that she was in, that's what they told her. And I'm like, stupid. I say to my church, I'm not ashamed. I say to my church, "I will come to your hospital and I will bring flowers and I will bring chocolates and we will do food parcels and everything and bring casseroles to the friends and family that are affected by your illness." But I said, "When I come, I am coming with the power of the Holy Spirit, believing that something is going to shift in your life. I'm believing that God is going to pull you out of your wheelchair. Believing that cancer is going to go." That's our church. That's my God. As you believed. And I want to tell you, I believe it. And the very fact you're in this room, I believe is enough faith for God to do what he needs to do. You're saying, "Oh, I'm not so sure." I'm fully convinced that something can turn for you. 35 years ago, I can't even believe it, this woman who was fearless had changed her belief. We just needed to rejig it, and here we were. Hey, church, maybe you're sitting here, and you're saying, Andrew, honestly, I don't know. This God that you're talking about, I'm not even so sure about it. I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never prayed that prayer that you said had power, asking God to come into my life as my Lord and Savior. But I need to do that today. I need a miracle perhaps in my marriage, with my finances, my life, my mind is a mess. I felt like as I was coming to church today, that God spoke to me 3 o'clock this morning as I'm having my devotional time, the same time as you, so we're connecting. God said to me, there are many people today that cannot have another year like last year. They cannot have another year like last year. The last 12 months have been a mess. And the reason is, if you're honest with yourself, you're not walking with God. You may attend church, may attend a connect group. You may be visiting maybe a visitor today. But you're saying, you know that something has to shift. What's the difference? It's God in your life. It's what Pastor Beck and Az were saying. It's like being devoted to God, praying, getting connected, having a relationship with strong men and women of God in your life so that something is shifting over your life. And when you come into that place and you give your life to Jesus, bang, 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 things begin to change. They really do. Not that life is easy and perfect, but you've got God walking with you. So today, before we pray for miracles, I want you to examine the condition of your heart. Why don't you just close your eyes right now? And in a moment, I'm going to, for those who are saying, Andrew, I need to pray that prayer asking Christ to come into my life, I'm going to ask you to just lift up your hand just where you're seated. Because God will see that. I believe he's going to respond to that. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord, right here for those people here for the first time, second time, maybe visiting from another church, but they're saying, Andrew, it's true. I know about God, but I'm not walking with God. And I know as we're praying, God will speak to you. Maybe there's not an audible voice booming down from the roof, but there would be a knowing, a prompting inside your spirit. And I believe even for many people, before you prayed, you knew. So it's not whether you're going to pray or hear from God, it's whether you'll be honest with God. And would you humble yourself so your family, your life, your world could turn around, your eternity could shift because of a prayer this morning. You're saying, Andrew, it's true. I need to come back to God or give my life to Jesus for the first time. If you're sitting here saying, that's me, include me in a prayer. And I'll just lead you through that prayer just where you said it. And we're going to pray the prayer all together as well so you don't feel alone or embarrassed. You're saying, Andrew, I need to do that. Lift your hand high so I can see. Who can I pray for today? Lift your hand so I can see who these people are. Thank you, thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Thank you, thank you. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Something, thank you, sir. Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Lift your hand high. You say, Andrew, I'm not sure. Well, lift it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Who else in Jesus' name? Who else is saying, Andrew, that's me? Something has to turn. Something has to shift. Thank you, Lord. I just believe there's maybe one or two other people. You're sitting there thinking, wow, I don't know. Give God a window. Give him a window. Every person that lifted your hand, or maybe you didn't lift your hand, could you lift it one more time so I can see who I'm praying for? I'd like to count even 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11 people. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Pray this prayer after me. Put your hand on your heart and pray this prayer. We're opening our heart. It's a gateway prayer to a brand new relationship with God. God, we thank you for those people here who need a miracle of salvation to reconnect to you. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name you would make a way. Pray this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, this morning I'm asking you in my life as my Lord and Savior. I give you my life. I give you total control. Help me live for you every day in your presence. Forgive me for any mistakes, for any sin in my life, because I know you died on a cross to take away the sin of the world. Take away my sin. Today, I am a new creation. I'm a child of God. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Come on, let's give God a big hand. Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our